Good morning, church. It is good to be here this morning. I see a lot of friendly faces, friends and family. You know, my mom is here. My dad came out. Excited about that. Got some friends here. I even saw Batman, right? I mean, I'm pretty sure I saw Batman in there. So thank you for coming out. Appreciate it. So, good morning. I'll be sharing the word of God with you this morning. And I'll also be sharing my life with you. The theme for the summer was faith in action. So I felt it was appropriate to talk about my journey of faith. Because I believe that my journey and your journey, I mean, you're here today this morning, intersects. And we'll be able to have a lot of similarities and a lot of things that I feel I went through that you guys can relate to. And hopefully you will. You know, if anyone that knows me knows that I love to go off on a tangent, so I'll do my best to stay on track. But I do believe that sometimes the point is in the tangent, and I'll get to this slide in a minute. So the good news is I don't have any points, so you don't have to remember any points today. I don't have a fancy acronym to remember. But my message will probably make all the English teachers in here cringe as I go through a single thought as a run-on sentence. Hopefully you'll make sense of it. But my advice is to just pick something that really relates to you, that you can relate to, and apply it to your life. So we need a starting point, a point of reference in our faith, and I wanted to use this picture because I feel like, I don't know about you, but I always felt like this was my journey of faith, you know? I felt like I had to jump through hoops and do all these things that God wanted me to do, but I realized that this could not be further from the truth. This is actually quite the opposite. And that's part of what I'll be sharing with you today. So I'm going to ask you to take out your phones. Some of you probably already have them out. So take them out. Go ahead. Take them out. Take out your phones if you don't have it out. If you do have it out, go to the picture app. The camera, whatever you call that. And I want everybody here to take a selfie. Go ahead. Take a selfie. I know you got phones. Take them out. This is the only time somebody's going to ask you to take your phone out during a message. So, take a selfie. Save it. Keep it there. We're going to get back to this. All right, guys? Against all nations, just as he had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthening his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for justification. Look at that moment in their time, in their life, when they actually made the right decision. Is that, I mean, listen to the scripture. He was 100 years old. So it was 100 years of God our Father working and shaping his faith so that he could be ready for this moment. You know, and it's okay that we're not ready for moments like this sometimes, right? Our faith is a work in progress. Our journey of faith is a work in progress, and we have to be okay with that. It's under construction, you know, but God does not build like we build. I don't know, any system that we create, political system, an economic system, and you talk about Plato, the Republic, or democracy, anything like that we as humans created, you notice that the moment that you put humans in the middle of it, we mess it up, don't we? Right? I mean, in paper, it looks great. In theory, it's always perfect. It's well thought out. It's balanced. But the moment we go in it, we put ourselves in the middle of it, we mess it all up. Well, the good news is, guys, that's not the way God works. That's not the way God builds. You know, God... God works each of our journeys carefully with the attention to detail of a master farmer. You know, our faith is a work in progress, and we need to be the hero one day, but sometimes we don't see all that hero had to go through, the hero in the faith had to go through. We don't see the many times that he or she dropped the ball, or the many times that they did not have enough faith, or that they doubted. How many times they missed the point. Let's look back at something that I saw in Romans that I kind of picked out, and I looked it up in the dictionary. It said that Abraham was fully persuaded. And it reads here, persuaded to prevail on a person to do something as by advising or urging, to induce to believe by appealing to accept that. But again, I can speak about my own faith and how exactly it came to be. I'll share some scriptures today, but I'll also share my life with you, if you don't mind. And if you didn't know me before, I guess you'll really get to know me today. I didn't know my parents were coming, so I'm going to have to, cut some stuff out. But this is my family. It's my beautiful wife, Mom Sarah. I have a 10-year-old, Sushil, a 7-year-old, Xiomara, and a 4-year-old, Sol. And, you know, we all have a story to tell. It's on that story that talks about our faith and how our faith came to be. You guys remember these shows? Yeah, this was one of my favorites, Extreme Makeover. You know, what if I told you this morning that the very creator of the universe has been shaping your faith and has brought you to this very place today? It could not have been any sooner. It could not have been any later. I remember these shows, Pimp My Ride, Extreme Makeover. What was the other one? Overhauling with Chip Foose. That was my favorite. Guess what? You have been the main protagonist on a show as well. You were cast on it since your birth. It's called Extreme Makeover Heart Edition. God has been purposely influencing your faith so that he could win your heart. This show started however old you are. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Predícalo. Debió haberlo hecho en español para que tradujeran al inglés para todos, ¿verdad? La próxima. Ecclesiastes 3:11. Bible reads, this is the Message version. But in the end, does it really make a difference what anyone does? I've had a good look at what God has given us to do. Busy work, mostly. True, God made everything beautiful in itself. But he's left us in the dark, so we can never know what God is up to, whether he's coming or going. I've decided that there's nothing better to do than go ahead and have a good time and get the most we can out of life. That's it. Eat, drink, and make the most out of your job. It's God's gift. I've also concluded that whatever God does, that's the way it's going to be, always. No addition, no subtraction. God's done it, and that's it. That's so we'll quit asking questions and simply worship in holy fear. You know, the NIV version starts this verse with God set eternity in the hearts of men. You know, the first step in God bringing you to him was by setting eternity in our hearts. And I want you to let that sink in. Why does the creator of the universe want to win our hearts? And I want to show you one of my favorite psalms. And if you can switch to, oh, somebody else likes it. Good. This is one of my favorites. Psalm 73. I'll start reading verse 1. And the reason I love this psalm, and if you know me, I probably shared this psalm with you at one point or another. But one of the reasons that I really love this psalm is because you can see this guy's entire life kind of flash in a single psalm. You know, from in the beginning, he's doubting, he's just having second thoughts, he's really having an existentialist moment there. But towards the middle, he finds something. We'll get to it. But what I really like is the end. So let's read Psalm 73. No doubt about it, God is good. Good to good people. Good to the good-hearted. But I nearly missed it. I missed seeing his goodness. I was looking the other way, looking up to those people at the top, envying the wicked who haven't made, who have nothing to worry about, not a care in the whole wide world. Pretentious with arrogance, they wear their latest fashion in violence, pampered and overfed, decked out in silk bows of silliness. They jeer, using words to kill. They bully their way with words. They're full of hot air, loud mouths, disturbing the peace. People actually listen to them. Can you believe it? Like thirsty puppies, they lap up their words. Oof, I don't know about you. I've always related to the psalm, you know, because I feel like there's nothing good in my heart. There's nothing pure in my heart. You know, it's sometimes full of cynicism, disbelief, faithlessness. I mean, you name it, envy. I've been there. You know, the first verse, it says, God is good to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, well, clearly, that's me, that's my part. That doesn't include me because I'm not pure in heart. Thus, God is not good to me. That's me jumping to conclusions, right? We love doing that. But I think we all have those moments, right? We have those but as for me moments where we don't see ourselves. We don't see the reality. Those but as for me moments where you feel like nobody can relate, where everybody around you is doing great, worldliness seems to win the day. Satan works very hard at trying to make us believe that our hearts are not worth it. He's very good at planting the seed of doubt in our hearts. God just wants to take our hearts and give them a makeover. Our faith starts when we're fully persuaded of that, because we can then trust him with the next step. God winning our hearts is the first step. God shaping our lives, that's the next step in our journey of faith. Let's turn to Acts 17. We'll come back to Psalm 73 and see how my man does later on. But for now, let's look at Acts 17. And we'll start reading in verse 22. And this is Paul. So Paul took his stand in the open space of the Areopagus and laid it out for them. It is plain to see that you Athenians take your religion seriously. When I arrived here the other day, I was fascinated with all the shrines I came across. And then I found one inscribed to the God nobody knows. I'm here to introduce you to this God so you can worship him intelligently. Know who you're dealing with. The God who made the world and everything in it. This master of sky and land doesn't live in custom-made shrines or need the human race to run errands for him, as he couldn't take care of himself. He makes the creatures. The creatures don't make him. Starting from scratch, he made the entire human race and made the earth hospitable with plenty of time and space for living so we could seek after God and not just grope around in the dark, but actually find him. He doesn't play hide and seek with us. He's not remote. He's near. We live and move in him. Can't get away from him. One of our prophets said it well. We're the God created. Well, if we're the God created, it doesn't make a lot of sense to think we could hire a sculptor and chisel a God out of stone for us now, does it? You know, the second thing that God does to build our faith, to build my faith that he has done, is to allow my character to be shaped. You know, how does God do that? You know, I can speak for all of us, but I certainly know I can share how God shaped my character and the circumstances that led me to here today. It was 1991 in New York when I arrived to this country at 12-year-old. Yes, the Giants had won the Super Bowl. That's right. It was destined for me to be a Giants fan, guys. I can't think any other way. But my mom was waiting for me. It was me, my brother, my sister that arrived here. My mom was already here. My dad was already here. And she had a jacket just like that one waiting for me because, you know, we're coming from Costa Rica. It's cold. It's December. And we didn't have coats. So I arrived in JFK in 1991. And what I thought was a summer vacation, unbeknownst to me, was actually a permanent move. Except nobody gave me that memo. Imagine my surprise a couple of years later when I got my first job as a busboy at a country club, and after a week of working, they call me into the office and they tell me, hey, sorry to tell you, but your name and your social security number don't match. What? I don't know if you guys ever seen this movie where the valid people were the genetically engineered and the invalids were the natural born. Well, that's kind of like how I felt. I felt like that was my life. I was living that movie. I'm illegal? I'm invalid? Like, what is this? The embarrassment, all the questions that start coming up. I remember going to motor vehicles when I was, 16 or 17, something like that. You get my driver's license. That lady behind the counter laughed at me so hard with my Costa Rican passport that was expired for like 4 or 5 years. It gets worse. I applied to a bunch of schools, a bunch of universities, all of which accepted me, including an Ivy League school, all of which immediately asked for my Social Security number so I could get my financial aid worked out, school loans and all that. I couldn't go to my top one or two schools. I made lots of plans, but the Lord himself determined my steps. You know, attention, you know? I was the class clown and the nerd, the jock and the teacher's pet, you name it. When I pulled down a map in history class in Costa Rica was always in the middle of the map. I don't know if you realize that. Then I come to a new place where Costa Rica is no longer not even on the map anymore. My dreams, I feel like my dreams are being crushed. I was the epiphany of self-reliance, independence. But God put me in a place where my intelligence, my grit, my talents would not be enough. There were obstacles that only he could overcome for me, and I was not okay with that. Looking back, besides my green card and a legal path to legalize myself, I was also missing and lacked a great amount of humility. And nothing was more humbling than accepting that if things were ever gonna work out for me, it had to be on his time and not mine. God was working on my life and on my faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Still in there? This means all these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sin. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. The cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of two. He allowed both the difficulties. God was setting me up for part three of his master class in shaping my faith, which is persevering in your faith. So, take out your phones. Hopefully you didn't delete that picture. You still have it, right? Hopefully there's not something else after that. So the winds of change, cultural, to see the only force that's powerful enough to defeat faith and keeping us from having an amazing, unshakable faith is ourselves and our willingness to let God work in our lives. He's a gentleman, you know, he's not just going to... was there something before that? Yeah, that one, there you go. Satan knows that the smallest doubt he can plant this cartoon. I thought it was funny. What are you planting? The seed of doubt. That's the worst joke I've ever heard. Or is it the best? Who knows? We are our own worst enemy. God has set us up so beautifully, so perfectly. He set eternity in our hearts so that we could love him and revere him. He then set the times and places where we should but to go because obstacles in my way so that I had no choice but to say it was not through my own power, but his. Same way when it comes to faith, it is worth it. Is it worth it when it's not tested? If we don't tolerate that about our cars, why tolerate it with our faith? Have the faith to persist, to continue the race, to not quit. Who wrote that psalm? Psalms 73. And we'll pick up right on verse 11 where we left off. And check this out. And remember, God is good to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped, right? That's what he was thinking. He was just really struggling in his faith. What's going on here? Now he's questioning, right? Is God out to lunch? Nobody tending the store? What's going on? The wicked get by with everything. They have made it, piling up riches. I've been stupid to play by the rules. And I know we can feel like this sometimes, don't we? Why has it gotten me? A long run of bad luck? That's what? A slap in the face every time I walk out the door? If I would have given in and talked like this, I would have betrayed your dear children. Still, when I try to figure this out, all I got was a splitting headache. NIV says, when I try to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. Until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I saw the whole picture. You could see the tone changing right here, right? The slippery road you put them on with a final crash in a ditch of delusions. In the blink of an eye, disaster, a blind curve in the dark and nightmare. We wake up and rub our eyes. Nothing. There's nothing to them, and there never was. When I was beleaguered and bitter, totally consumed by envy, I was totally ignorant, a dumb ox in your presence. I'm still in your presence, but you've taken my hand. You see God shaping our faith? You see God taking our hand? You wisely and tenderly lead me, and then you bless me. You're all I want in heaven. You're all I want on earth. When my skin sags and my bones get brittle, God is rock firm and faithful. Look, those who left you are falling apart, deserters. They'll never be heard from again. But I'm in the presence of God. Oh, how refreshing it is. I've made Lord God my home. God, I'm telling the world what you did. He's having a different but as for me moment right there, right? But as for me, I'm in the presence of God. It's a good place to be. I will tell of all your deeds. I will let you work in my life. You know, I like the psalm because every time I read it, it reminds me of my own faith. And I believe a lot of us can relate to this. God set eternity in our hearts. God set the times and places where we should live. Persistence is key. Our faith will be shaped until the day we die. You know, most of us probably won't get it, make it to 100. But with persistence, our faith will be shaped and built. Our roadblocks and obstacles are simply opportunities to strengthen our faith and for us to stop giving half efforts. When doubt sets in, enter the sanctuary of God. Nothing sets you straight as on FaceTime with God. Amen. Amen.